Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of May, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights on this incredibly exciting day. Asia was quieter, or that was the quiet part of this whole saga. Markets were sort of barely steady to down slightly in Asia. The European stock markets again had also had a fairly quiet day, although the UK FTSE index is down over just over 1%. But the real drama has occurred elsewhere, and not in stock markets, although the US market has had another down day in here. Declining 1.1% for the Dow, about 0.91% for the S&P, and a little bit less, about half that for the NASDAQ. And in currencies, the US dollar has seen a bounce in here today. I'm just going to see just how big that is on the individual chart. So much going on here. I was going to see if it was a upside key day reversal. It's not, but it is certainly an upward dynamic, and the first one we've seen this year. So that's interesting. But the really big story is that the snowball rolling down the mountain known as silver really turned into an avalanche here today. Now, silver itself is down $5 more as I speak. That brings it down to $34.35. Gold is trading at 1471, and that's down $45, and it was down, I think, about $53 or $54. At one stage this evening. Platinum has also been clobbered in here. It's at $17.60. That's down $65. And palladium is down $40 to $7.06. But it wasn't just the precious metals, although it was the precious metals as much as anything else. But the commodity markets have been really clobbered in here today. Copper is back under $4. It's at currently at $3.975 in the U.S. That's down nearly 16 cents. Crude oil, and this really is the big one, and WTI crude is down to $99. And Brent crude, wow, that's down $11.50, $109.70, as I speak, and that's been falling pretty much all day. The grain and bean complex was hit. I think rough rice was limit down. And are there any exceptions to this? Looks like lumber was up a tiny bit here today. Now, the U.S. bond prices have also rallied in here. The U.S. 30-year bond futures price is currently up 29/32, and the 10-year is up half a point. So, with that dollar rally, let's see, the euro had fallen. Remember, the euro got close to 50, I think it was yesterday, or was it the day before? But it's currently at 145.31. Sterling's fallen back to 163.78. The Aussie's fallen back to 105.67. So, excuse me, a pretty dramatic day here overall, as you can see, and the yen was even stronger than the dollar in here today. Dollar yen is currently at 80.21, was as low as 79.57. Japan, incidentally, is still closed. It will be very, very interesting to see what the Japanese stock market makes of these events when it reopens. I thought it was going to be today, but clearly that was wrong. So it's probably on Monday. I'm not sure about tomorrow, so I'm assuming that it'll be on Monday. But whatever, I don't think it's going to like the action that it sees, both in terms of the yen strength and the weakness in some other markets. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, again, you remember they were caught in that what I described as that tug of war, the scrum. The also described it as the heaven of favorable monetary policies and the hell of commodity price inflation. And that was a battle that commodities were always going to win, because that spike in crude oil had already taken a toll. It was just a matter of how much would it weigh on stock markets. Well, it may be sound perverse to say that this sharp commodity sell-off is helping to drag down stock markets, but the point is, it may sound counterintuitive, but the point is that commodities had already done the damage. Again, I repeat my point on crude oil, that spike that we saw over a month ago, that was certainly sufficient to knock maybe on average a point off GDP, global GDP growth. And we also had spikes in a number of other industrial commodities, and not to mention food prices. So this has been an increasing headwind, and although we saw signs from that continuous commodity index, which had, you remember, might remember, had a downside key day reversal. I've posted it on a number of occasions, including yesterday. I'll post it again today. But back in March, we pointed out the weekly key reversal. It came off sharply, then rallied back up to the high nearly, then failed. It's come down with a bump, taken out the March reaction low. So that's peaked for the time being, and it is in a mean reversion process, but it had already done the damage here in terms of stock markets. And I think that a number of investors who are not veterans of the precious metal scene, and you really have to have been around and active in the markets back in the late 1970s and early 1980s to see what some of these swings look like. But what I described as the snowball coming down the mountain called silver, just turning into an avalanche as far as other commodities are concerned, that people will interpret this as further evidence that global GDP growth is slowing. And so they also know that QE2 is going to be phased out in June. They also know that a number of the growth economies have been pushing interest rates higher to curb inflation. So they will, understandably, and I think correctly, view this as, well, they will be looking beyond what has been the first quarter's rather good profits around the world, and not least in the USA. And they will look beyond that and say, well, hey, the second quarter profits and quite possibly the third quarter profits are going to suffer here overall. And I think that's what stock markets are now beginning to adjust to. Now, It's well worth having a look at a lot of the charts. I will devote most of tomorrow's comment to doing a chart review because there's so much dramatic action here. Huge downward dynamics. These are not yet climactic, in my opinion, because they're coming off quite high levels, although they may be they may lead to a dead cat bounce or two. I think we will also see a number of weekly key reversals across some stock markets and also commodity markets. But the main theme here is these big, powerful dynamics. And if you want to know what that looks like, just look at the silver chart on a daily or a weekly basis. And that window of that favorable seasonal window that I said was closing on, and I think I described it yesterday as closed for precious metals, has well and truly slammed shut. And the big question here right now is how many people with leveraged positions are going to get squeezed out of these markets. Plus, how many people who fear that a number of other people with leveraged positions may get squeezed out of the markets are just going to chop their positions anyway. Now, my view is unchanged on all this. The precious metal charts were clearly deteriorating following silver's parabolic move to the upside. I think that saw the peak, wasn't it, on April 25th or April 26th? I think it was the tw I think it was the 25th. But those parabolic moves always end badly. They're climactic, and you have a vacuum of supply on the way up, and then you have a vacuum of demand on the way down as people try to scramble out of those positions. And it has a profound effect on psychology. Now, this is going to last for a while. I've reviewed it in comment of the day, or I've talked through the various different factors that are at work here. So I don't need to repeat all of that now. But just to try, I will try to put things in perspective here. This is not the end of the commodity super cycle, in my opinion. You remember when we had the 2008 crash, a lot of people said, well, that shows there was never any commodity super cycle taking place. And at Fuller Money, Owen and I said, no way. We'd always made the point that the commodity super cycle would be punctuated by recessions and major corrections due to concern over growth prospects, such as we have now. And we never avoid the business cycle, but that long-term theme of supply and elasticity meets rising demand, which we've been talking about for at least a decade, was going to run for really quite a lengthy time. And that's my view again today. It's that view has been unchanged. But we are seeing a major correction in these commodity markets. This is not 2008 all over again, but it will certainly be the biggest correction since 2008, and we haven't had many. And that's actually a good thing overall in terms of stock markets, although stock markets are unlikely to appreciate it for a while yet, because they'll be concerned, investors will be concerned about the implications for growth and how much slowdown are we going to see and how much monetary tightening might we get. So I think we will see more of this. Well, I think we're going to stay in this reactive phase in terms of stock markets, but commodities are more volatile than stock markets. And overall, if I fast forward a few months, we're going to see we're very quickly getting lower commodity prices. That's good because it will reduce. That's good for the global economy because it will reduce inflationary pressures, and it will also create a renewed buying opportunity in commodities. I think we'll want to wait until the dust settles. I wouldn't be charging in there too quickly because it's kind of catch a falling knife territory in here right now, and that's a game I don't wish to play. As a matter of fact, I opened a commodity short in here this afternoon. I should have done it yesterday, but I had to leave the office quite early yesterday. And but I shorted the gasoline contract, the U.S. the NYMEX gasoline contract. Now, what I also want to say is that a related pullback in stock markets, and we had seen in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some of those Asian markets, the China A shares, which had been quietly steady, and in India, we've seen them pull back quite sharply. I think we will see further corrections. We've seen those South American, Central and South American stock markets pull back. Now, that will also create another very good buying opportunity, in my opinion, because we will, when all the dust is settled, we will have improved valuations, and valuations weren't that bad to begin with, particularly for fuller money themes, not least the multinational companies leveraged to China-led GDP growth. Because these companies are cash rich, very strong balance sheets, they will be in a position to make some judicious takeovers, to do some share buybacks, and to raise dividends. And I think we'll get all three of those, a combination of all three of those factors for many of these companies. The lower valuations, say, will be attractive to many value and growth-oriented investors, including ourselves. And the lower commodity prices will reduce the inflationary pressures for a while, and then I expect the whole system to reflate again and pick up with equities improving and commodity markets also going back up. It's a little bit hard to say on the 5th of May what day or week or month that will actually take place. But with precious metals, for instance, I think I've already said that I'd be looking for lows. So lows may have come earlier, but will be retested, I think, in July and August. But then come September, I think we'll see evidence that a consolidation following a medium-term correction is setting the stage for another move to the upside. And it will be a move to the upside that I definitely do not expect to be led by silver. The leadership in these bull phases for precious metals has rotated. And silver was a wonderful story, but of course, like all those great accelerating climactic story, it's ended badly. A lot of people will be traumatized by that. Silver will participate, but we want to look for a new leader, and it could be any of the other three. We'll know more about that as time passes. Okay. In terms of currencies, US dollar strikes me as being ripe for a technical rally, and it could be a quite reasonable technical rally. And the yen, well, I think it needs to weaken, but the market is not convinced, and I'm not convinced that we're going to get any more G7 intervention in here. I just don't know. I think Japan needs a weaker currency. The BOJ governor may not share that view. But we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I have increased my yen shorts a little bit here today, although they're underwater at the moment. And the bond market. This is these bond yields have gone down again. They're looking overextended to me. The bond prices, therefore, futures are looking a little bit overextended. But if investors are very worried about slower global growth. That can delay the next downward dynamic that will indicate a weaker tone to the bond futures prices, and therefore steady up the long-dated government bond yields. And I think that's pretty much it. And I'll just say, in case I didn't make the point, and I'm talking about all these weaker commodities, I think this setback has broken the back of the crude oil bull run for the medium term. In other words, you're seeing medium term peaks in most of these industrial commodities. I think that the best fundamentals in the commodity markets are in the grain and bean complex, due to the very, very low global reserves that we see. And the U.S. South and Midwest has been experiencing some horrendous weather conditions. I know that according to Elizabeth Browning Garris, those are conditions are supposed to improve as we get into the summer, but until we get some evidence of good crops, this the you know the fundamentals will be supportive of grain prices, except when you get a general sort of panic out of commodity positions, such as we saw today. It hits everything. Well, what a day, and I look forward very much to seeing what tomorrow brings, as I suspect you do as well. Meanwhile, from this croaky-voiced analyst, all the best.